Soy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is power.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it is so wonderful to have your company for not episode 350, episode 349.1.
Yep.
And we've got a few filler episodes until Frank gets back from the land of the long white cloud.
Yep.
Well, today I've got Ben with me.
G'day.
And that's it, just that's the two of us.
Yeah.
Frank is enjoying the holiday very much. I think there's a lot of photos coming through of different toy-related places. Yep. He was at the Lego store today, which is very cool.
Yep.
Hobbiton?
Let's get it straight. I think Jack is enjoying the holiday and Frank and Ali are just tagging along. So, yeah. So there, but awesomeness, you know, he's already been on that big horse ride. The horse was a little bit dirty, you know, more than white, so to speak, but they got their horse ride in. They've been to Hobbiton. They've been to the Lego store. He posted a big minifigure mock display of a minifigure and things that, with Jack in front of it. So they look like they're having a grand time. And he's already made a little purchase over there. He got Leonardo from the Masters of the Universe Cross.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes.
You know, Motu line. So that I'd you know, be in tears if I found them at retail. So, you know, well done, Frank, for scoring his favourite ninja over there already. So, yeah, always nice to pick something up when you're on holidays.
Yeah, and normally we would make something up for Scott not being here, but in reality, he was here. We were setting up, and then there was an intruder that actually was trying to break into the house, and he was had Joe on the phone. Joe was home, and the police were there, and they had this guy on the ground. We could see it all through the camera, so
we could hear it as well. He was making all sorts of noises, you know, and the camera obviously caught it, picked all that audio up. So
it was intense to sort of be there. So Scott has gone home just to check on Joe and make sure she's all okay. So our best wishes are with you, Scotty and Joe, and hope everything's back to normal. But the police looked like they had it under control, so
100%.
There was no further imminent threat that we could tell.
Yeah.
So,
and well done to the police for getting there so quickly and, you know, so timely. So,
All right. Yeah. So today we are going to do, there's heaps of news,
There's
much to get through. There's been like a Mattel kind of con. Hasbro have done their live streams. It's just all dropping. Something that actually didn't make the run sheet was Super 7's black and white Mirage-based Turtles.
Correct, yeah.
Because so shit.
Well, they, you know, that's one of those things they tease, you know, oh, look, you know, watch out, Mirage Turtles are coming back. And we're like, oh my gosh. Well, and you were pretty quick to say, hey, they've already done the reaction, so surely not going to be a rehash of them. They're going to be Ultimates,
right? How exciting.
You know, the next logical step is to think Ultimates, and it's like, wow, that's cool. Think of what they can do, designs. And Frank was pretty quick to say, well, you know, they've got to milk that those molds, you know, so why not put them in black and white? Why not add a few extra, you know, weapons or accessories and really, you know, hone in on the Mirage landscape? But no, unfortunately, it turned out to be just some wicked Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird art on a reaction card back. And that was pretty lackluster, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, I just love to see what the fan reaction to this stuff is. Yep, so I was scrolling Instagram.
Right.
And it was just post after post of just disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, lazy Super 7.
Yeah.
And I think what got me was just the fact they tried to build this thing up. Yep. And really all they were selling was that beautiful artwork, which was great.
Yes.
But it's not, I mean, reactions here are probably like now $35.
Oh, they're just so expensive.
You can't pay $35 bucks for just a nice piece of card art.
Well, there's that cartoon Shredder reaction. And I'm hovering around it on my, you know, buy it button on websites and things, and I'm like, I can't justify $35, you know, 5 points of articulation, three quarter with a sword. Like no thanks, pass.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Hit that button.
Well, let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
So what have you got for me?
I'm Batman.
he's got a new hat.
Well, something I did not see coming, but anyway, they are celebrating their 30th anniversary. That is none other than, of course, Street Sharks.
Yep.
Street Sharks. And this isn't done by Super 7 or Jada Toys or, you know, all the ramen toys for that matter. You know, this is not done by a third-party company or something. This is Mattel going back to their roots. Unfortunately, Vin Diesel was absent for the promo, but here we are, Street Sharks 30th anniversary. This is pretty amazing and has me genuinely excited. So at first glance, I'm like, oh, cool. They're just reissues of the original figures. You know, that's cool, that's cool. But then hang on, they've got extra articulation. They've gone the Origins route and they've added articulation to their arms and more articulation to their legs. And if you then delve even deeper, they're actually quite more leaning towards the cartoon look. So characters like, you know, Big Slamu and things, instead of being, you know, the odd colours that he was as a toy versus what he was seen as a cartoon, they've gone that more cartoon accurate look.
Yep.
So big teaser promo at the start was, of course, Jab, Big Slamu, Streaks, Ripster, and then on the villain side, Dr. Pyranoid and Slash.
Yeah.
So that's sort of, you know, the big, here we go, we're bringing them back 30 years and, you know, we know everyone's been asking for it. Obviously, they were waiting for the big 30th anniversary before they hit the green button to release and bam, here we are with Street Sharks from Mattel. And then there's some more news. So Wave 1 consists of three characters. We're getting Ripster, Jab and Slash, and these and true classic Street Sharks design. They come with their original sort of roll cages, their, you know, prison cages, whatever you want to call them, in that box, full on nostalgic box design, tearing through the cage and things. And so the wave one consists of Ripster, Jab and Slash, the villain. So I just think these are amazing. Their $25 release date of July 2024, right? So you can order them, you know, everyone, as soon as this dropped, everyone's like, where can I order it from? Where can I order it from? And plenty of places like Big Bad Toy Store and things were pretty quick to put them up. So I put my order in for, I wanted two Ripsters, one to keep carded and one to have on display. Just as a token, I'm not going all in on these, but I'm definitely picking the ones with the rollerblades, so Streaks and blades and things, and I cannot not, you know, eventually buy a Dr. Pyranoid and things, you know, the title villain and things. Anyway, these are $60 US, sorry, $60 Australian from Pop Culture, and that's going to have a release date of October and things. And a few other Australian retailers tried to order them, but they were coming in around the $95 mark and things.
Okay.
And as soon as Pop Culture undercut them, they're like, well, let's just cancel my sources because Pop Culture are going to ruin us.
Yep.
So, yeah, $60 Australian and October 2024 release date. So I've cancelled my Big Bad Toy Store order and I placed one through Pop Culture because end of the day, it's about the same price and, you know, free shipping and things. So I just cannot state how excited I am for these, and I just think this is going to go really, really well. Apparently, Wave 2 will be later half of 2024, so these will come out before the next wave, which will be the other characters, Big Slamu, Streaks, and Dr. Pyranoid. And then they're going to do more releases at San Diego Comic-Con, which is, you know, Wave 3 and beyond. So very, very exciting times for all the 90s, you know, kids and things, and the nostalgic for that. So I'm hyped. What do you think of this?
Oh, I love it. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Street Shark fans out there. Shout out to Sammy Cripps, big Street Sharks fan. I know he went in on those sort of designer Mattel figures that they put out based on some of those original concept sketches. And they were very, very expensive and probably not what we as the fan base really wanted.
No.
This is brilliant, right?
Yes.
You know, like what they've still got is that rubber skin kind of feel.
Yep.
And here we've got Ripster. He's going to have that mouth opening action.
Yeah.
So that is important. I think that they kept that, but they've sort of up and enhanced the articulation, as you said. So knee articulation, obviously got a range of motion at the shoulder, elbow, and then wrist swivel as well. Yep. So these are great. But what I thought was absolute genius was that packaging.
Yes.
Because you don't see a lot of these mint in box.
Yep.
And I think just to have that really nostalgic packaging with the cage.
Yeah.
You can actually, if you get multiple cages, you can join them up and put them in a cage fight.
Oh, wow.
Like they're all sort of modular.
Oh, cool.
So I saw them, Mattel, their live stream that they put on this morning. They were doing that and it looked fantastic.
Wow.
The other thing is, and I will touch on it a little bit later in a bit more detail, but I feel like Mattel's really hit their strides with catering to the collector.
Finally.
Now. Right.
Finally.
Finally. I think this is the moment. Yep. You know, what we had with Matty Collector was very much driven by Scott Knightley, right?
Yep.
He was driving it. Mattel were like, you know, if it stacks up, we'll look at it figure by figure, and if it makes sense, we'll do it. Watching this live stream, it went for about 3 and a bit hours,
right? Okay.
It was all fully professional.
Yeah. Yep.
There were presenters. They had all the designers come in.
Yep.
It was just so professionally done. And you go, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is, right? I reckon Origins has shown them that this stuff works.
Yes.
And this is now coming out of that, the success of Origins, the success of some of their other lines. Barbie had a huge hit with the movie. There's like a real public momentum, and I think they're riding it properly.
Yep.
So I love that.
Yes. Oh, and well done. You know, it's so great to hear that these passionate toy lines aren't just forgotten to the ages. So love these type of reissues, and it gives, you know, people like me who there's no chance I'm ever going to buy a carded you know, Street Shark, but now I can. And now I've got a little tiny, you know, maybe 7 or 8 Street Sharks, but now I can expand on that.
Yep.
You know, I'm really excited. So,
nah.
Should be good. And there's already questions, well, are you going to bring back Extreme Dinosaurs and you know, all those sort of things? It's like, well, hang on. We'll see how Street Sharks go. But I think they can go pretty deep with this line for sure.
Without a doubt, yes. All right. I don't know if anyone can hear the cat in the background. It's going bunter with the meowing. So, excuse me for the meow if you can hear that in the background. Next up from the DC Multiverse, the mind of the Todd father is Kryptonite Doomsday. And this is a teaser image reveal for the Mega Fig Class Doomsday from McFarlane. Pre-orders were going to start on the 20th. So I think that's been and gone. But he's looking pretty cool, right?
He does look good.
Instead of those bone shards, they're now Kryptonite. Right?
Yep.
So good luck. If Superman couldn't beat him the first time, how's he going to tackle Kryptonite Doomsday?
Yeah. My only request for this, and I haven't done much research on him, is that those green Kryptonite shards glow in the dark. That would level this figure up a lot. He looks very, you know, like he looks like he's been working out. Looks like he's been beaten once by Superman, gone back, right, what do I need to do? I need to work out and I need to exchange these bone shards for Kryptonite shards. So he looks very cool. And being the Mega Fig class, he's going to be a big boy.
Yes.
He's going to be quite dominating. So very cool.
No, very nice.
And next up, we have some articulated Ninja Turtles. So, you know, straight off the bat from Street Sharks and things, what next, you know, do we expect? Well, we're coming up to the 40th anniversary of the Ninja Turtles. And Playmates have gone back to their original designs and things and added articulation. So this is pretty exciting. Now, I haven't seen any actual release dates or pre-orders or anything or pricing and things, but we've just got a teaser picture. Looks like from one of the back of the packaging of something else or a promo. And these are essentially, you know, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael and Donatello with, you know, actual paint apps on their weapons. Michelangelo's actually got, you know, metal nunchucks,
chains.
You know, chains on his nunchucks and things. They're all their original color schemes that Playmates made famous. So Michelangelo's that darker green, Leonardo's that olive green, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Donatello's brown. And I just think these are fantastic. They come on like a sewer,
it's like a rooftop?
Like a skylight.
Yeah,
skylight rooftop base. I'm pretty sure they come individually because they're pictured next to them in individual, you know, landscapes and things. So this is fantastic. Only at Walmart, available in July apparently, but I'm sure people will be clamoring and trying to help each other out to source these.
Yeah, these are really, really cool. I think they're called the 1988 remastered line. And if you look at those little pictures that they've got there, because they've got, you know, a picture of them all joined up together on the kind of the diorama.
Yep.
But then in the little pictures, they've all got unique weapons as well. So, you know, Donnie's got this kind of bolo blade, spiked ball, nunchuck type thing. I don't know the name, Tomfers? Is that what Mikey's got? Yeah. These Tomfer yep. type things. Yep. Leo's got this ridiculous kind of anime sword. And Raph looks like he's almost got two kind of like double-sided hatchets.
Yeah.
But really interesting, they you know, if you squint your eyes, particularly with the Mikey and the Raph, they just look like the vintage toys,
oh, certainly
right?
Do. Yep.
What they've done, which I think is really cool with the Leo, they've given him an updated head sculpt. I always thought that original Leo head sculpt probably was the least impressive of the four turtles.
Oh,
like in terms of
Frank is calling me right now.
No, but I think he'd agree. I think that original head sculpt was the one that if they were going to just tweak, it made sense to. And now they've given him the most iconic look, right? Yeah. I think this is the best looking vintage style Leo head. I just love it. And I think that's fantastic. They've done that. And they've mixed it up. Donnie now has like the kind of grin coming out of one side, whereas previously he had the double kind of like clenched teeth on both sides.
Yep.
So I think this is fantastic. I think these are going to be absolutely hot. I think they're going to sell really well.
Sure.
And it's about time, Playmates. Like the amount of just pure reissues we've had.
Yep.
Really well done to take it to the next level. And I think, you know, with Street Sharks now, with Origins, we've even seen they're doing an Optimus Prime with the added articulation.
Yep.
This is a no-brainer. Oh. Take the original look.
Yep.
And just tweak it so you keep the look, but you give fans the articulation they want. And 100%. That is going to be a big seller.
Great, great call. We've also got a bit of a spread from Frank. This is Frank's thoughts. Playmates looked at the success of Mattel's Origins line and said, hold my beer.
Indeed, yeah.
Articulation has always been Playmates Achilles' heels, so he's hoping they learnt some lessons along the way. No articulated fingers, please.
Yes.
The extra seemingly non-canon weapons, including a dio base, accurate colours, painted weapons, I'm blown away here. Of course, I'm in, but questions remain. Is this a one-off or does the rabbit hole go deep? Surely we need at least some 1988 villains, Shredder. No need to rely on probably lost moulds anymore. With all these extras, price becomes interesting. Target demo is clearly us, so do they... Do they, you know, increase inflation it up? Overall, 17 out of 19.
Okay.
So,
yep. Yeah. Look, I think the articulation we saw in the movie line,
Mutant Mayhem. Yep.
Well, I think they've proven they can do, you know, good articulation.
Yes,
I think that articulation looks pretty seamless and works pretty well. But I agree, Frank is right. There has been some shocking Playmates articulation. But I think they're there. Look, it's a question for me on distribution now.
Yep.
You know, like we said, Street Sharks, $25, $60 is about right. And you go, I'm happy to pay that. The fact that some retailers were thinking that they had to sell them for sort of $90-$95 is very concerning here in Australia. But really, I mean, let's hope this gets a wider distribution than just Walmart. Sometimes these things are kind of, I don't know, like timed to a certain extent and then, you know, can get a wide release. I'm hoping that's the case. But yeah, I think these are going to be very, very popular.
Oh, for sure. For sure. All right. More turtles. So just this is confirmation that the what do you call them, the original turtle,
the sketch
face,
yeah
the sketch,
I guess that
that we had when we had Brett on, we were talking how they're all on this large sort of round base all together. Are they going to come in a gift pack? And we all unanimously agreed they would. And now there's been images leaked online that they're actually individually packed. So Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo and Raphael, the first based on the first sketch, are all individually packaged turtles. I don't have any information about where they're to buy them from or how much they are or anything, but just a leaked online image of them individual.
Yeah, look, to your point, Ben, you made the point that only Leo had the knee pads, and that is not an error. That is correct. None of the other turtles have the knee pads. And look, I was going to go back and check that original sketch to see if that's true to the sketch. Yep, yep. But that's a very interesting move. Interestingly, Mikey, no belt.
No belt.
No belt on Mikey.
And Donatello's just got the strap across his chest and no belt either.
No belt around the waist. I think it's a fun way to do them. I think the fact these are very different, these are based on an initial sketch, I'm cool with those sort of modifications. I think these have turned out really cool.
I think they've gone the right direction with the wacky sort of weapons. You know, the Leonardo's handles are very warped.
They're wonky, aren't they? And
they've gone for the original Playmates colors, as we talked about on the previous episode. But they've gone for super bright, you know, Leonardo's blue on his bandana and things, and the weapons is so bright. And I like that. I think they need to do a bit different for that. Each of them have a broken canister of leaking ooze with them. I don't think we saw that previously. And it looks like, going by Michelangelo's picture, it looks like there's some diorama that you get to build up and them to stand on in the background. It looks like a box crate of some type. These are called the original sketch Leonardo, you know, original sketch turtles. And it says original sketch repaint included.
Oh, there you go. That's cool. Okay.
So, yeah, so you might get a little postcard style, with each turtle.
Very good.
Very cool.
All right. Moving on to some more DC multiverse news. And we have images from the Justice League of America Plastic Man Build a Wave line. So after some teasers over the weekend, the DC Multiverse JLA style Plastic Man Build a Wave is now live to order around the web. In addition, full pics and product info for Batman, Superman, Aquaman, and Green Lantern have been made available. These are going to retail from $24.99 USD and will ship in summer 2024. But these look very much akin to those late 90s JLA figures that we had released, particularly that Aquaman.
He 100%.
Super, super cool.
Yeah.
Love the blue Superman.
I love the black Batman, the Michael Keaton-esque look. But that's me, you know, being a hardcore dedication. But I have to say, Plastic Man doesn't get much love.
No.
And this Build-A-Figure has gone, you know, to 11 out of 10, right? They've gone bonkers with it. They've got so many accessories and things, and he is a over-deluxe style figure in comparison to other reiterations of the classic Plastic Man. I remember when I went to San Diego Comic Con 2010, that's when they had the special release of Plastic Man as a exclusive
DC Universe multiverse.
Yeah.
Universe Classics or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he came with the little suitcase.
Yeah.
You could turn him into a suitcase.
He came with everything. Yeah. He came with like this spring and things like that.
Yes,
and he was a really big deal because he had so many accessories and things. And, you know, if that's the gap between Plastic Man release, you know, of this classic looking version, that's quite a long, you know, distance.
Mm.
I can't name, and he was a superpowers figure, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so for someone that, you know, as high regarded as, you know, to get a superpowers release, and I don't think he, you know, you could count almost on two hands how many figures he's actually got, you know, in most lines, across all of them. I think this one is absolutely knocked it out of the ballpark. It's just disappointing that you have to collect five other figures to build him,
You get your four others and you get him. Look, he's got the face sculpt on the kind of traditional looking head is really, really cool. He's sort of, a fairly kind of comic relief character.
Jokester.
Very jokester.
Yeah.
But they've done this kind of plasticky secondary face where his neck's all bendy and he's given, you know, even his glasses are kind of plasticky
warped.
And warped and he's got this really kind of like quizzical look on his face. It's just so well done. Grappler gun with Batman, which is nice to see. He gets a cool accessory as well.
Yep.
And I'm just going to go down here and have a look at the Hal Jordan. It's not the Hal Jordan. It's the John Stewart, Green Lantern. Yep. He looks pretty cool too. I must admit, I do like that Arthur Curry Aquaman. Style is very 90s.
That's what I sort of was introduced to Aquaman. This, you know, aside from the campy Aquaman that is played up on almost too much.
Yes.
This is the badass, you know, this is Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Yes.
If you're going to portray that sort of style with the trident hand instead of an actual regular human hand. And I think that's so cool. He's got the big flowing beard and hair and things. He's even got like a sort of Roman, you know, like armor on.
Yeah,
of,
almost know. Like a gladiator.
Yeah, that's the word, yeah. So I think he's, you know, this is a very tough-looking Aquaman as opposed to some of the very campy green and gold spandex Aquaman that we've seen in the past.
Nice. Yeah, and he's doing the collector card again with these. And the stands. I like the stands.
Yes.
I'll talk a little bit more about the stands on McFarlane figures in an upcoming episode, but they work really nicely. Nice, just a black, sort of very plain stand, but with the peg hole. And it just helps them to stand up, as I'm 100%. Doing as I go through and try and set up about 1,000 figures in my toy room. Standing up is very, very important.
Yeah. All right. We've got some new fighters in the Street Fighter Jada toy line. We, of course, have Dalsim and one of my favorites, M. Bison. These are freaking bananas. Like, these are amazing. $24 USD each. And Dalsim, you talk about Plastic Man coming with a lot of extra hands and arms and things. Dalsim has gone to that next level. He has stretchy arms and stretchy legs. He's got the screaming face, extra hands. And he's even, you know, you talk about stands. He's even got like a stand that you can lift him up off the ground with. So that is absolutely amazing.
He's a deluxe, really, but still $24.99.
Yes,
it's quite incredible.
All those packaged extras. And M. Bison comes with his, I forget the name of his fist power up, but he comes with that purple blaster effect, comes with an alternate head and a couple of different hands, and looks like different shoulder pads as well.
Yeah, because one of them is a wide cape by the looks of it that attached to the shoulder pad.
I see. But so you can take it off.
He always, you know, fought without the cape. Well, so he'd stand
the
there,
start,
whip it off, right?
Yeah, at the start, he'd come onto the screen and take it. Sometimes in the, you know, depending on what version of Street Fighter it was, he'd take his cape off before the fight. So that makes a lot of sense now. In our next slide, we've got Dalsim, you know, in what he can do. These are very pliable arms and legs, so you can almost tie him up into a very monk-style looking character. Probably my only gripe with this is he's missing his flame effect. Like
Yoga flame.
Yeah. Whether he's spitting flame or, you know, the big, big flame effect of any kind whatsoever.
Well, I think, you know, because let's just break this down, right?
Yep.
He comes like a full figure.
Yes.
Then he's got two stretchy arms and two stretchy legs.
Yes.
Plus alternate hands and an alternate head, right?
Yep.
Plus the stand.
Something had to give.
I think that's it. Like, I don't think they can fit anything more in this package. But you're right. That would have been a beautiful touch.
Mm.
These, I mean, to this point, really it was been Storm Collectibles that has sort of dominated.
Yep.
But, I mean, I've got quite the Storm Collectibles Street Fighter collection.
Yep.
Cost an arm and a leg to get. They're sort of $150 figures.
Yep.
$24.99 for this, and you're getting all of it. This is, and then they're great figures.
Yeah.
They look fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, I've been, Jada Toys. I mean, they're a bit of a newcomer, right?
Yep.
But they've proven that they can do a well-priced, really, really, really nice figure, and it's getting a lot of love.
A lot of people voted for Chun-Li as their figure of the year, you know, like in one of their figure categories for our figure of the year last year.
Yep.
So certainly, you know, that's a token to, you know, how good these figures are. And I collected the Sorta figures, Street Fighter line, back in the day, and they never got to Dalsim, one of my favorite characters, one of my, you know, the original eight or whatever you call them. And so to see them get to Dalsim finally and do him properly with the stretchy arms and things is a credit to where this line is going, I think. So, mad respect.
No, very nice. Okay, over to Mattel Creations, and we gave them a big plug at the start of the show. They continue to roll out some very, very cool releases. The Eternian Firefighter is getting a figure, Snout Spout, one of my favorites. I know he's one of yours, Ben.
Loves this.
He's shown up. He's still, I think I checked it today, he's still up there.
Still available.
You can still get him, which is great. From the Masterverse line, he looks fantastic. I think he's a bit of a bulkier figure.
Yes.
And he comes with what I guess what you'd call almost the more modern looking kind of head, the more robotic head. That
I think they took a lot from the Staction, the Four Horsemen design Staction, rather than that played down looking one that the vintage one had.
Yep.
And then it was even played down further in Filmation, in the She-Ra cartoon.
Yes.
So they've sort of taken a bit of inspiration from what the Four Horsemen Staction looked like and, you know, dialed it up from there and then added on all these extra pipes and dials and giving him big shoulder pads and things. I mean, the guy's got pink gloves, for heaven's sake, but he looks as tough as anything. He stands a bit taller, as an elephant should, you know, as opposed to they've got Man-at-Arms and, what's his name, Mechanic standing there. So he's almost a head taller than those guys.
Yeah, 8 inches he's coming in. So they probably come in at probably close to 7.
Yep. Yeah, he comes with his famous backpack and things, and there's quite several cables going from the belt and it looks like the shoulder area and things. He's got his comes with his famous axe, sort of that firefighter's axe that is made very famous. And the artwork on this packaging, people are throwing it back to the what's the Death Dealer Frank Frazetta. They're comparing it to Frank Frazetta's style, like of the Death Dealer standing there with his shield and sword, and comparing it as like this, the same stance of the version. So that's really cool. So $57 Australian, I believe that's without postage, or $33 USD. So it comes in a deluxe packaging and everything. Wicked artwork, as we said, trifold card packaging and stuff. This guy is phenomenal. Always been a favorite of mine. Always my go-to character when playing,
You know, Battle of Eternia.
Battle of Eternia game. Nice. So I've had a soft spot for him for many years.
Well, this I saw in the Mattel Creations panel today.
Yes, yep.
They did talk about, they had their packaging design guy on. They talked about this trifold packaging. It is window, like it's plastic free, right? Okay. But it's very cool because you sort of fold everything out. The figure looks really nicely displayed in there. And you almost get these diorama pieces. They're printed on both sides.
Yes.
You can fold them out and you get beautiful artwork. So it's, I mean, I love my window packaging, but you know, the fact they've gone, okay, let's try this trifold concept without any plastic, and they've really leveled it up. Yep. They've really designed it so, you know, it's collector friendly.
Is it shaped in a triangle, or how is it shaped? I just can't wrap my head around how.
I think it's predominantly a rectangle.
Okay.
But I think the trifold maybe refers to the fact that when you pull out a piece of the packaging, it's got a panel and then two other flaps that you can sort of pose it up almost like a background diorama.
Yep. Right, right.
So I think that's where the trifold
That's where it was confusing me. Yeah. Without seeing it in person and without doing heaps of research, I just couldn't wrap my head around how it looked.
Yeah. Mm. Well, here's probably a nice little segue into what they call Mattel Revealed Day One. This is that panel I alluded to earlier on. I've got a picture there for you, Ben, just to have a look. Because it was interesting. I went on to order the Cyclone this morning when I woke up, because Cyclone was available today as we record this session. And this little kind of thing popped up at the bottom of the Mattel Creations website. And what it was this video of this 3-hour-long live stream panel that they did, which was really, really cool. They had a host. They had all these different guests. They did segments. They even went and did like this this segment with stunt puppets. And stunt puppets are the guys that are behind those stop motion Master of the Universe sort of little short animes that they do.
Yep.
And they did like a featurette on that. It was really fascinating to how they put those together. And that culminated in the world premiere of the new Pearl of Power featurette, which features the new Filmation figures used for the stop motion. So it was mainly, you know, Filmation He-Man, Filmation Skeletor. And it's cool. Like, I mean, not that you can really spoil this thing, but Skeletor gets the Pearl of Power and it makes him grow, and then He-Man has to fight him.
Yeah,
and it's all done in this kind of stop Snake Mountain. Yeah, all stop motion, but in Snake Mountain as the backdrop.
Oh,
and
wow.
Lava yeah, and everything. Yeah. So it was really cool. I give Mattel a lot of kudos.
Yep.
Because it was a really highly produced. Yeah. They've probably taken maybe a bit of inspiration from like the Hasbro Pulse panels.
Yes.
And they've really lent into it. So good on them. I think it was great.
Also, what we didn't mention before was they did that for the Street Sharks as well. They had a stop motion sort of reel and things. That was amazing. And
I'd say it's the same guy, these stunt puppets
of course.
That did it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they animated them going underground kind of that whole concrete street.
Smashing the concrete. Full on.
So that was really cool.
Cool.
Then the big release of the day was Cyclone.
Yes.
He got a release today. And
for the Origins toy line?
This is for Origins, yeah. So, again, they did a sort of feature on him. Just to talk about it, $44 Australian or $25 USD. He's very vintage inspired, comes with his vintage shield, but also has the kind of red wing Aero-Bee kind of attachment made famous by 2000X. And that is really cool because that can fit on two different attachments on his back. One that can sort of come over the shoulders and one that can do more of the waist look. And I think that's really, really clever because it makes a lot of... It's like he's doing the hula hoop kind of there.
Yep.
Now, the other thing that's really cool about him is he's articulated like a regular figure. Then you kind of like press a button and that puts him into spin mode. So he's not, you know, like with the OG figure, he's always spinning.
Loose, yep.
Right? Whereas this one locks down and will articulate normally. So I think that's really, really clever. He comes with the Cyclone hand effects.
I love that.
Which,
I love the fact that he comes with that extra, you know, back piece.
Yep.
That red, you know, made famous and things. Love that in the classics and things. But these Cyclone extra accessories, you know, sort of justifies him being on the Creations website.
Yeah,
you know, like you're not going to get that, you know, on the pegs at a Walmart or a, you know, Big W or something. These are now adding those extras for the fans, you know. So I like that. And it's just, did you and Scott go in?
Yeah, it's funny. I woke up and I'm like, you know, he's going to be sold out because
he's pretty core.
It's a three, you know, like if Rock On or you know, could sell out in 5 minutes or whatever, he's got no chance.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was hoping Scotty would order one.
Yep.
Because Scotty sometimes gets up and does the, you know, on time.
Yep.
I'm just too lazy these days to wake up. So anyway, I logged on when I woke up about 6 a.m. So I reckon it's probably somewhere about 3 hours after he's gone on sale.
Yep.
And I was almost astounded to see the in stock,
right?
Like little
still
button.
There.
I'm like, okay, well this is odd. What's wrong? What's the problem? And I saw a post that said, you know, I made it through the transaction really seamlessly, and I'm like, okay, this is good news. So I ordered him, and then I said to Scott, you know, I've ordered you one if you need it. And he's like, oh, I was going to surprise you tonight because I've ordered you one.
Yes,
so,
cool. All
anyway,
right.
We got it. We got a few.
Got
extras.
A couple
now,
extras.
He did then sell out shortly after.
Yes. Yep.
But I reckon he was up for probably somewhere in the vicinity of 6 hours.
Nice.
Right.
Beautiful. That's
that
what
is
you want.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like, and I complained about the Rock On debacle. This gives me hope.
Mm.
You know that Mattel have adjusted the numbers. I still think they can go up a bit more.
Yes. Yep.
I still think you can have him for, you know, a week. With like a snout spout still up there. You know, that's you don't have to worry. You know you're going to get him. Just bump it up by another 5,000. You're going to sell him, right?
Yep.
You're going to put the scalpers out of business, right, if you do this sort of thing. But anyway, I thought that was great. And look, I'm critical when these things don't go right, but we got to give Mattel
kudos
when things work well, right? So this is great. Now, just some pictures on the art. Look at the art. Now, what they've done is they've used that image of He-Man fighting the monster from the Fright Zone, that sort of snake monster that El Norum made famous with that beautiful artwork. Now, actually, in that
image,
you've got Mossman and Cyclone waiting.
Yep.
And now the image they've done is kind of like, well, He-Man's out of the picture and it's Cyclone and Mossman taking on that monster. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, Mossman is still, you know, coming up from the ledge in the picture. It's
that's
brilliant.
Clever, isn't
just
it?
Just absolutely brilliant. I was going to try and find my magazine that features that artwork, but it cuts it off. you can only see He-Man on the front cover, and then you get the poster inside. So I wasn't sure if I actually had the poster in my copy, but yeah, I love that. That's attention to detail.
It is.
You know, they don't need to do those things, and to do that is pure fan service. I think I love it.
No, it is great. And then on Cyclone's box, so he comes in not the regular blister. He comes in that sort of deluxe style of box. There's an image of him fighting Horde troopers, which is an homage to the mini comic, The Hordes of Hordak,
right?
Where Hordak basically starts sending out these copious amounts of Horde troopers, and Cyclone's in that mini comic. So that's again a really, really cool nod. Yeah. This is they've done this right.
Yes,
they've
yes.
done it for the love of the property. They're leaning into all the things we loved, and they're bringing that back to us. So this is really cool.
And then a teaser for what I can only assume is the mini comic.
Yes.
The Fog of War. And is that Lord Grasp?
It is Lord Grasp.
Yeah, in the background. So a bit of a fight between those two, introducing, you know, a new character, so to speak, and, you know, Cyclone, and then, you know, advertising the fog. Well, how are you going to clear a fog? Yep. You need someone with Cyclone powers. So
exactly right.
It all makes sense. Love it.
And then we had some new reveals from the Origins line, and they're getting deep.
Yeah,
yeah. We've got the Demo Man, who was really, and this is, I know, collecting classics when I did. I'm like, this is the only time we're ever getting a Demo Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, they're never going to do him, but this is, you know, the original sketch, one of the ideas for Skeletor.
Yes.
So he's now done in Origins, but sort of a more basic look. They've obviously toned down a lot of the paint apps.
Yep.
But he fits in really nicely. Comes with a big mace and a really cool sword.
But the sword is the Fangors.
It looks like Fangors. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Re-released, but done in kind of like a silver or grey.
Yep.
And Geldor.
Geldor, very fan favorite in Germany.
In Germany, I think. I think he got a lot of love over there.
Yeah.
Comes with his massive cleaver. A repaint of a kind of like a He-Man shield in just silver. And then this kind of double axe thing that you can join together.
Yeah, that looks like from Ram-Man,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yep, Ram-Man on one side, and then almost like a variant of He-Man's double-bladed battle axe.
Yeah.
Really cool. I think that's great. I think to get Geldor in Origins, because he was a mini comic, you know, who's that other guy that was in
Tug of War or
guy? I was thinking, terrible with the names, but he had He-Man chained up.
Oh, yes, yes. Purple and black.
Purple and
pink,
black.
Pinky black. Yeah,
almost a shredder. The shredder of the... Yes,
I don't have him in my collection, so I forget his name. I know the one you're talking about, though. Yeah.
So that they, again, were probably some of the big villains that never got a figure, but were prominent in the mini comics.
Yep.
So good on them. Good on them for going, you know, into that more niche.
And if they're selling exclusively online, they need to go into this niche thing.
I think so.
This is their, you know, now market. And I believe, without actually watching the 3-hour video and things, they actually did say they were going to get to all the original characters.
Yes.
Don't worry, we'll get to all of them. That we're just sprinkling in a few extras to keep the line, you know, so it doesn't finish out by the end of the year. So
these are
exciting. Now, but what I am really excited for is the Masterverse Horde Trooper. Oh my gosh, this guy looks dialed up to, you know, 99, 100 type thing. He is enormous, very wide. Shoulders on this guy, the armor is full on. He looks, you know, just on picture alone, he looks bigger than the classics Horde Trooper, which is very, dialed into the vintage looking style.
More slender, isn't it?
He looks like he's got a bit of a sheen to, the look to him. He's got a bit of a shine to him.
Yep.
He comes with his famous staff and things, which a little bit dialed up, but comes with that famous staff. And then he comes with like a Horde Trooper sword, which we've never seen before, with the bat emblem at the hilt and a very quite wide blade sword. And instead of that damage effect that, you know, it made famous by the Horde Troopers, you can actually take the top half of the armor off, the sort of shoulder area, and there's like an orc,
an evil orc.
That, you know, face underneath. So they're not all machines, apparently.
They're not all robots.
So and apparently, the story goes, they're all brainwashed and things by the Horde and just, very low IQ or whatever and just do whatever. But the seeing some photos and things, there's like almost you know, light piping through his eyes and things like that. It looks so, so cool. This one might have to be a Masterverse figure that I add to my collection because I do have an extreme soft spot for the Horde Troopers. So, yeah, I think this is very cool.
Yeah, look, I'm not a collector of Masterverse. I did when it first got announced and they did the Kevin Smith show, I did pick up the first couple of waves. And then when they went into the new attorney, I got bits and pieces, but I sort of went off it.
Yep.
Mainly for the reason that they felt very much like a continuation of kind of what classics did and maybe not probably as good in my mind. So I sort of like, well, I've got the superior version.
Yep.
But every so often they put one out that I go, you know what, that one I feel like I need. I think what I love in Masterverse is obviously the Evil Lyn movie version. I think that's, to me, that's a must get. I'd love to get that. I love the Snake Teela.
Yep.
I think that she's just been revealed, I think, in the last couple of days that, you know, when she's in her snake form.
Yes, yes.
From the show, I think she looks amazing. Yep. This is one that is absolutely incredible.
For sure.
And there's
I saw Too Bad today at the shops. And he's very chunky.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of praise from other
he's
people.
Great, but again, I sort of look at my classics version and I go, you know what? I feel like I've got a great Too Bad.
Yep.
But I agree. There's some in there that are just incredible.
Yeah.
There's another one that's escaping me. But so it's hard because there's so much.
Yeah,
to get,
of course.
Right?
Of course.
You gotta
draw the line somewhere. Yep.
Speaking of drawing the line, would you draw the line at that Mikey hair on the Turtles of Grayscale line?
I know people like it, and I know people are like, "Oh, this is cool." I don't like it.
I don't like
Turtles with hair. I hated them when they had them on the Ghostbusters and things.
Yeah.
Hated that. I mean, this is not like we've not ever seen this before. Some of the Viking turtles and things, you know, deeper into the line that Frank's got in his collection, they have hair and they sort of get away with it. But this is almost fist-handed. This is too much hair. This is rock and roll, you know, like hair. I'm not a big fan, but each their own, you know. If this is your thing, good luck, but I'm not too impressed by it. I do like the Shredder. Sorry, the Skeletor. He looks very, you know, Japanese samurai-esque, almost glow-in-the-dark features, you know, on top of the black and purple outfit. And so that's pretty cool. But they didn't stop there. They had to keep teasing us. I think a while back when we were speculating about what this line was going to give, you know, we were throwing out ideas and we came to Too Bad and, you know, going around the room and things. And then I think I said, what about Bebop and Rocksteady, you know, as Too Bad? And that sounded like an amazing idea in paper. I was very proud of that idea. I love the concept and things. Seeing it in real life, oh, no. Don't like it. It looks too... to just thrown together.
Yeah,
like,
it
doesn't mold very well. Like, it just looks like they've just plonked two figures together, you know, extended their shoulders, and then it just, it doesn't look right.
It doesn't really work.
No.
As it could. I mean, I think they could have executed it a bit better. Like, almost, they're both the same height.
Yeah.
They just, it looks very, just stuck together. But this line is I like what they've done. On paper, it makes a lot of sense. Some of the design choices haven't worked for me. It's almost like, you know, maybe they've got a different design team on this and they haven't quite nailed it.
Yep.
Like I'm looking at I don't know if it's a Sorceress or a Teela or who that is. But again, it's sort of, you know, it's kind of cool. I just feel like they've maybe missed a little trick on some of the design choices.
Yeah.
The yellow color scheme. Maybe it's an April. Maybe that's why it's so yellow.
For the Sorceress.
For the Sorceress.
Yeah, that's April.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. And then the leather. I do like the leather head. I think he's pretty cool.
Leather head and Whiplash, is it?
Oh, right.
That's what I took away from it.
Yep. Comes with removable hat. He's got the trap. He's got his, traditional red kind of trap.
Yep, And he comes with his famous hats and things like that that he can put on. But I think that's Whiplash and sort of Leatherhead without speculating, because who else could it be? Yeah, I think he comes with a bigger tail and things like that than a regular character. You've got Splinter as sort of...
he's jacked.
Yeah, as what do they call it? King Grayskull.
Oh, it is King Grayskull.
Yeah, with the big cape and things. So that's King Grayskull with the the power harness and things like that. Leonardo again. So yep, Frank's just picked up Leonardo, the original version, and then you've got more of a Ronin Leonardo with the garb, and he's sort of trying to, fit in with the native people and things like, the Eternians and things. But this one's a classic, Casey Jones, right? He's just gone around the battlefield and picked up everyone's fallen weapons and fallen garb and things, and accessorized himself.
Whiplash's spear, and he's got that little sword that came with Grayskull.
Fisto's, hand. No, it's not Fisto, Jitsu's hand.
Man-at-Arms' shin armor.
Yep. He's got, what's his name? Ram Man's mask as a hockey mask.
There you go. It is too.
Yeah. So, and then a few glow in the dark, like he's got a hockey stick and stuff that looks pretty cool. But I have to, credit where credit is due. I think they've had the most fun with Casey Jones, and it certainly showcases it that way. And I think Casey Jones is going to be pretty cool, because I don't think anyone had Casey Jones on there. I think Frank was extremely surprised to see Casey Jones of all the reveals.
Yeah, look, he's probably one of my favorite. I mean, I'm a Casey fan, but I think they've, design-wise, he makes sense. Like, it's a cool-looking figure, and those accessories kind of, like you said, he's gone around the battlefield and picked up the remnants, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
And then there was this kind of cross-sell checklist that they released with a few very, very kind of grainy pics of some of the other characters. We're getting a Teela who looks, I don't know what she's sort of a crossover between, but I think that looks pretty cool, that Teela.
It looks like bloody Link from Zelda.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Then Merman, who almost has the...
I love Merman.
The Lady Slither kind of tail. Yeah. Kind of, so that's cool.
I do like that. I do like that a lot. We've got sort of a He-Man dressed as a ninja.
Stealth ninja He-Man. Yeah, he's cool. I think he looks really great.
Very pre-Eternian.
Yeah, yeah. With the kind of the hood. Very much like maybe Leonardo, that second version of Leonardo, Leonardo. And then a Hordak as well.
Which looks pretty standard.
Which I don't mind. I don't mind a bit of that. No. So they're really fleshing this line out, but that's probably most of it, you'd think.
Yeah. I don't know how much more they can produce, but who knows? Like, if they've gone for a second Leonardo, are they going to go for a second, other turtle as well? Who haven't we seen? Is there any big key turtles or anything that we haven't seen?
I think that's the main. Yep. I mean, you could maybe do a foot soldier, but again, it's sort of pretty generic.
Baxter Stockman maybe or something.
I think you've got the heavy hitters now. Yeah. You've got Krang, you've got Shredder.
Yep.
April, Teela. Yeah, I think you've got most of them.
Right.
So I'd be happy to call it there.
Zodak?
Yeah, again, look, there's a number you could pick.
Yes.
But are they must-haves? Probably not.
Yep. Fair call.
Well, I think that's... Oh, no, I did put in some more stuff to the run sheet. Hasbro. Hasbro had their, what they call, Imperial March. They love their puns, don't they, at Star Wars with May the 4th and Imperial March. But it was a Star Wars stream. And coming off the back of the drop trailer for The Acolyte, which is a new Disney Plus Star Wars live action series, we got a whole heap of new Black Series figures released. The first one being the Darth Maul in that holographic type style we've seen done with the kind of puck, the bounty puck. And then a whole heap of new figures from The Acolyte. We've got Mei, who appears to be the antagonist of that show in her assassin mode. and then a whole heap of Jedi, including the Padawan, Jeki Lon. We've got Yord Fander, I think Jedi Knight Indara, and Jedi Master Sol, who seems to be the main Jedi in this show. Very, very cool. Then we've got a number of those figures in the vintage line, including Assassin Mei and Jedi Knight Sol, or Jedi Master Sol. And then we've got a New Hope Princess Leia with R2-D2 in the vintage collection, plus a very, very cool, I know Nick Greenslade loves his helmets, Moff Gideon in his kind of like dark Mandalorian stormtrooper style of outfit, which is a very, very cool helmet. So a lot of people are going to love to get their hands on Moff Gideon's helmet.
That's very cool.
And then today we had a Amazon exclusive Masters of Evil 3-pack, which features Grand Admiral Thrawn, Darth Vader, and General Grievous. Comes in a 3-pack, but again, a new style of packaging by the looks of it. These are done on the blister card with the black and sort of black and white style of artwork with very, very striking red Star Wars and the names coming through there. So that is pretty cool. And then some pipeline reveals from the Black Series. We're getting Dedra Miro. And Dedra featured in the Andor series as one of the female Imperial officers, a very cool figure to get. Imperial Armored Commando. We're getting an Ahsoka Tano of Peridia and Captain Enoch and his Night Trooper 2-pack, as well as a Disney Store Pulse exclusive of Yoda and Clone Commander Gree. I think the Captain Enoch and Night Trooper 2-pack is a Walmart exclusive. So some interesting things there if you're a army builder. You're going to have a lot of fun with the pipeline reveals.
Yep, 100%. All right, how are we going for time?
I reckon we've got a little bit of time up our sleeve.
Do you want to talk about reading, watching, playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, what have you been watching or what's been hitting your feed or whatever?
Yeah, in terms of watching, I finished a series I think I've talked a little bit about on the show before, but it was called Masters of Air.
Yep.
It's kind of the continuation of, you know, if you think about what Spielberg did with Saving Private Ryan, put out an absolutely epic World War II movie and then followed it up with a series called Band of Brothers, so sort of HBO series that he was heavily involved in. Then they did The Pacific, which featured the Pacific War, and now they've done a show that features the pilots, the fighter pilots, and predominantly around the bombers,
yep,
the bomber pilots that fought in World War II. So incredible story, true story, around the squadron called the Bloody Hundredth. So they flew, they were probably the most, they suffered the most casualties. Mm. It was quite horrendous. But brought to life over 9 episodes on Apple TV. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Austin Butler is fantastic in this. But, you know, some amazing performances and just really eye-opening to what these guys went through in World War II, flying these incredible flying fortresses. Yeah. I remember the film Memphis Belle that came out. I remember that being absolutely astounding to watch. But this, obviously now with modern technology, they were able to bring a lot of those sequences to life, and it's incredible to think, yeah, you know, I don't like flying at the best of times.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
to be up there and being shot out with, you know, this, yeah, these explosions going off all around, and then, crazy, you know, fighter pilots coming in, absolutely incredible. So that's been good. We are going to talk next episode about X-Men 97, yeah, but I have been watching that.
Yep.
And I did finish The Creator. Finally watch that.
Yep.
Wasn't a fan.
Okay.
I didn't like it. Found it actually quite frustrating,
yeah,
to be honest. Visually looked great, but it sort of had this, I don't know, had this really weird vibe. A bit like Blomkamp, yep, who does the District 9, where they meld, yep, kind of like modern technology with really... Mm. Kind of almost like poor. They kind of, I spend a lot of their time in Asia, like, yep, in this kind of futuristic Asian country where they kind of look after, yep, the AI.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just really strange.
Yep.
It's really strange the way these they're there farming the rice, and yet they've got, you know, they're out in the fields farming rice, and they've got these super high tech robots as well. It just didn't mesh for me as being kind of like a world I could kind of understand.
Mm.
But anyway, that it had some incredible visuals.
Yep.
And was it the lady from Sex and the City? The main bad.
It's been a while since I've watched it, but yeah. Might have been.
Yeah. So that's about it. Yep. Not much on the reading front and the playing these days. It's all Fortnite for me. So nice.
How are you going with that? Still playing with the boys?
Yeah, still playing with the boys. They're better than I am, I think, these days, or Callum certainly is. He reached, I think he can do ranked now.
Yes,
he reached quite a high ranking level.
Yep.
So he did well in that. But new season has introduced the Greek gods.
Okay.
Right? And so you can pick up Zeus's firebolts and shoot them around and stuff. And I started off the new season, I was just getting demolished by everyone. But I've come into my stride now, and I've got a few wins on the board, a few crown wins as well.
Fantastic, cool.
So I'm holding my own.
Yep, nice. I checked out The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie, development. Very, very British. Loved all the language and things. Felt extremely similar to Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yes.
I love that sort of humor and they start to do something and then something goes wrong and it just escalates, you know. It's like a butterfly, you know, flaps its wings and a tsunami happens on the other side of the world. That's the sort of happenstances that they get themselves into. And it's just full on. It felt almost like they could have finished it after episode two. They weren't sure how long they'd
go. Oh, is it a series?
Yeah, it's about six episodes or something.
Okay, yep.
So they could have wrapped it up easily in two episodes, but they kept going, and it very, very well done. I thought it was great, and quite a lot of laughs and things of that, prestige British community, but also, all the craziness and the illegal stuff that they're doing on the side. Invincible is back.
Yep.
One of the best comic books I've ever read in my life. Season two sort of had a pause, and now they've just started season two, part two.
Okay.
Now, so I actually haven't watched the second episode, but the first episode back from season two is up on Amazon Plus, Amazon Prime. So yeah, check that out if you're an Invincible fan, because it's absolutely phenomenal. To watch. Very, very close to the comics, but also just, sometimes tightened and things where they need to. So, loving that. And the Millie Bobby Brown film, Damsel.
Yes.
Where's
that on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It kept coming up, and I'm like, is this going to be, too childish for me?
Yep.
Because the kids and things watch Netflix, sometimes some of their, shows and things, dribble into my, feed and things. And I wasn't sure if this was another fairy tale type thing. And I'm like, I can't find anything good to watch.
Right.
I'll watch this new thing and then I can say if it's any good for the kids or not. And it starts off very slow, Millie Bobby Brown is a princess type thing, gets moved across the country to marry another princess, and that's going to help each family to strengthen their bond and, their riches and all these things. So she kind of gets married off, and very quickly the opposing family are like, look, what we need is a princess, we don't need a family. So you can go back to your own castle and your own land and things, and we'll just keep the princess, thank you for coming, see you later type thing. Here's heaps of gold and riches and things to see you on your way. So she goes, and then it very quickly turns into, all right, cool, you're one of us, so blood, handshake type thing. And then she gets pushed down a massive area, like a trench thing, and falls down, and then she's at the mercy of a dragon. Apparently this dragon and versus the family blood ties have huge history. So she's got to survive for the rest of the movie running away from this dragon that's just there to hunt her.
Yeah, right.
Felt almost Jungle Book, where the snake is coming after the Jungle Book kid, because the dragon can talk, so it's everybody runs away from me, but eventually I'll catch you. And the dragon is very nicely hidden for a lot of the movie. Yep. Like you just hear about it, you see it in shadows, but when it roars its fire and things, it's like volcano lava. It just absolutely disintegrates everything in its path. So she's just running for her dear life and it's got to survive. And I won't say much more about it from there, but that's the rest of the movie. So if you can survive the first 10-15 minutes of it, very slow, and you're like, what am I watching here? Is this going to go anywhere? It gets really, it sort of levels up after the first 15 minutes and gets going, and you're in for a fun ride after that. So highly recommend that, and gave the big thumbs up to the family to say, highly recommend it. It is good, but you just got to sit and endure the first 15 minutes because it's like you're just wondering, what the hell is this? Is this just a love story or what is this? And the other thing I've been watching that I've been absolutely captivated with, I'm about 4 years behind, as my wife likes to remind me, I'm so slow to these things, is Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yes.
The chess
fantastic
tournament.
Show. Yeah.
And oh my gosh, like that just proves to me that with good writing, you can talk about anything.
Any subject matter.
And it's just absolutely fantastic. And she is the new, not Aliens, she is
Mad Max.
Yeah. Yes, she's Furiosa.
Yeah.
So I was quite excited to see her, just as I'm a couple of episodes in on the Queen's Gambit, she pops up on the trailer for Mad Max. And I'm like, oh, cool. I can, it's nice to have that association with an actor or actress, with these new things.
Very talented actress.
Yeah, she's great.
Does a great job in that show.
Yeah. So I'm absolutely loving that. Any spare moment I have, I'm chucking Queen's Gambit on and watching through that. So that's fantastic, and apologies to everyone for not getting into it sooner. And it's great. So loving that. Yeah, reading. I'm reading Jurassic World now.
I finished
Jurassic Park, and it's very slow. I'm only a few chapters in, so that's great. And I don't have any time to play games. And I did play Mario Kart with my daughter the other day. She grabbed the Switch and said, here you go. And you know how you can take the sides off the Switch and turn them into little tiny
mini
controllers. I hate them. Yep. Like, they're too small even for my small hands. But she gave me one of them and I still kicked her ass. No. So still got it, so that was fun. Yeah. I don't do the battle, whatever, where you've got balloons and things. I always lose them. They know the tracks way better than I do. But just the standard racing, I still got it.
Unbeatable. So, nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, those skills back from the SNES and the 64 days, they still hold up. I'm unbeatable, basically, because I know how to drift and get the mini boost.
Yeah.
And they're like, how are you boosting all the time? I'm like,
it's a
little trick I picked up on the N64.
That's right. That's right. It's exciting because I haven't played it for at least 6 months. It's exciting to new tracks and new characters and things and everything like that. So, like, you've got even the piranha plant now is a playable character and stuff. So that was quite a surprise and exciting to see and things. And just to see the evolution of a game that we've had for a couple of years now, that it's still unlocking new things in the background without us even doing anything. So appreciate that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Good. Mm. All right. Well, that's it from us. Thank you. Just the two of us.
Dynamic duo.
We'll be back for another Ben and Trent special next week as we take a look at X-Men 97. And then we do some vintage versus modern toy comparisons, which will be very interesting to see what toys have been selected. So thanks to all our patrons for your ongoing support and chatter on the Discord. And thank you to everyone for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power as we draw ever closer to the episode 350, where I think there will be a live stream, there'll be giveaways and all that sort of thing. So stay tuned for a date there. Take care of one another, stay safe, and we will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us toypowerpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.